Hey, good morning. Welcome to our online gathering. We're so glad you're with us this morning. We are continuing in our series called Better Together. We're talking about in community for community. And I just wanted to kick right off with a passage that kind of focuses our heart on what we're doing in this season. And this is the passage in Ephesians chapter 1. Just let this word soak into you, okay? Let this word kind of get into your soul and into your heart. Because this is my prayer for you. This is my prayer for church, for capital C church. Not just New Hope, but all churches. It says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's Jesus. That's why we gather together. I love this passage because it sums up the totality of who Jesus is and who his church is and what God the Father has done. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. He is alive. He ascended into heaven. He is seated on the throne. And now he has been put over charge of all authority and dominion. Meaning Christ's dominion is over any government, any country, any ruler. Like he is large and in charge. And he is building his church, which is his body, to the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We as the church, when we're talking about being better together, we are Christ's fulfillment. Meaning we represent Christ in all the fulfillment in this world that we live in as Christ followers. And God calls us to love him and love others. That is the biggest commandment, right? And so I just wanted to start us off with this Better Together sermon today, understanding this is who we are. This is who Christ is. Christ is in charge and he has all dominion and rule and he paid the price to have that. And he's building his church, us, the body. We all belong to it, and we're grateful that you are a part of what God is doing in the church, right? We're all together. Now, with this, you know, we're jumping into a sermon today, and I'm going to be pretty poignant today. I'm reading a lot of scripture, so you're going to want to have your Bibles open or your app, your Bible app. Even our New Hope app has a Bible on it. You can just click and read along with us if you want to. But we're going to be in the Bible a lot, okay, today. So get ready for that. Now, last week, as we were talking through this series, we were talking about having the right kind of filter of thinking, right? We talked about the Israelites. When they came out of Egypt, out of slavery in Exodus, we see that they were going to the promised land, the place that God had promised them, the land that was flowing with milk and honey. It had everything that they needed. And in this promised land, God was going to lead the way. I mean, God was with them. But 12 spies or 12 people from each of the tribes went to go see what the land was like, to come back, bring a report. 10 of them said, not good. There are giants in the land. The walls are fortified. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes. Like, there's no way we can do this. 2 said, God told us, let's go. Let's go take the land he told us. But they chose to respond and think in fear, right? They let fear down here be the filter for their decisions. And that's never a good one. Fear is never a good filter for proper biblical thinking, Christ-like thinking. Because Christ tells us all the time, do not be afraid. Actually, all through their journey and their story, God kept telling Joshua and Moses, like, do not be afraid. Fear not. I am with you, over and over and over again. And I think it was like, I did a quick study. It was about 39 times that in that message, or in that season for the Israelites, God kept reminding them, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And I'm, you know, like he kept reminding them, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Because they kept forgetting and they kept letting fear control them. For us as a church, we don't want that. We want to filter our thinking through wisdom, right? God's wisdom that we ask for, we pray for. God, give me your wisdom. And he does supernaturally help us have understanding, right? And wisdom from our past experiences. Meaning we have experiences for a reason, and it's helped us make better decisions in the future. We want to have the filled our faith. Meaning faith is a surety. It is a belief in God's presence, that he's with us. He will always go with us. And his promises, what he said in his word he'll do, he will do. And so we want that filter of faith, that God's with us and he's going to fulfill his promises. And this one, the filter of love, which guides and directs our actions and our attitudes towards others. That's the great commandment, right? Love God and love others. And so we need to be putting on the filter of love for other people, which brings unity, right? It doesn't matter what you think about this or what political stance you take or what thing you post on this social media or whatever it is. Like, when we as Christ followers choose love, we're thinking of the other first, right? And that's what Christ did for us. And so with this filter in place, we're going to continue in this series today and talk about two really big important things, God's power and God's presence, okay? God's power and God's presence that make us better together, okay, when we experience those two things. Now, I don't know if you have a bucket list. If you don't know what a bucket list is, it's those things that you hope that you get to do before you kick the bucket, right? But before you leave this earth. And you know, some people do, some people like, man, I hope one day I'll be able to, and they have this kind of dream of what they can do. Some people are like, nah, I don't really have a bucket list. I'm glad to live life or whatever. But I know for me, I have some bucket list things, some things I would just love to do. So this is what I want you to do, just for a second. You can even close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to imagine and kind of dream with me for a moment. What would be the best and most amazing experience for you? Like on this earth, in this life, like what would be that bucket list type of if I could ... thing? You know, would it be somewhere on a beach, or would it be traveling somewhere, or would it be being able to spend time with a certain person, or like what would that just, I would love to do that kind of a thing, okay? Now, I'll tell you what mine is, okay? Because I'm hoping someday I get to do this. And if I don't, it's okay. But I hope someday I get to do this. For me, my bucket list would be renting an Aston Martin and driving on a road trip through Italy. Like, that's one of my bucket list dreams. Like, could I get a sports car? Could I rent it and not worry about, you know, just anything with it? I'm gonna just have some fun driving over through the countryside, through the coast, in through the lakes in Italy. Man, that would just, I would love it. I would love it. If you don't know what an Aston Martin looks like, here's a picture of one, okay? Right? Like, they're just really cool looking cars. They're just really, it's like, that's my dream car too. So if I had my dream car in Italy, and I would say in Italy, a healthy Italy, like a virus-free Italy, okay? But that's my dream. I don't, you know, for you, I don't know what that is, you know, but if I got to do that, that would be just amazing. Now, whatever it was for you, whatever you dream of, or what that giant kind of, boy, it would be amazing if I could, ... even how great that thing or that experience would be, being in the presence of God is like taking that thing, that experience, and multiplying it by a trillion. See, it's something that we can barely understand or fathom, that being in the presence of God himself, like being with this heavenly Father that loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us, and that he adopted us as sons and daughters, like to be with that God in his glory and in his presence, it's like multiplying that fun thing or that experience by a trillion. See, no matter what, when we talk about our promised land, because that dream is kind of like our promised land, like that would be that great thing or that great place or whatever our promised land is, pales in comparison to God's glory. And it always will. It will always pale in comparison to God's glory. And so today, I want us to go deeper on this day, because this weekend, the church worldwide celebrates Pentecost Sunday. Meaning after Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, he rose again, And then he ascended into heaven, and there was that certain time period where he walked amongst the people. He would show up and he would teach and preach. And while he was alive, before he ascended into heaven, and he gave some promises. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But in this Pentecost Sunday that we celebrate, we need to understand God's power and God's presence in a powerful way that makes us better together. Okay? Now, we're going to start in the Old Testament this morning, and then we're going to get to the book of Acts in the New Testament, okay? So like I said, a lot of scripture. So if you're with me, I would love for you to turn to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. The book of Exodus, really near the front, chapter 33 is where we're going to be. And we're going to be talking again about this guy, Moses. You know, Moses, as we talk about God's presence, Moses understood God's presence, okay? Like Moses, as he was living into God's calling, I mean, God called him to lead his people out of slavery from Egypt into his promised land. That was God's call. That was a high call and a high challenge for Moses to lead millions of people through that whole experience. And the thing is, at the end, he didn't even get to walk into the promised land because of what we talked about last week, the generation that would not trust God. They had to wander in the desert for 40 years. And then before they went into the promised land, Moses passed away. Joshua took leadership. Now we're going to see both these characters, Moses and Joshua. And this is before they get into the promised land, or before they go see it for the first time in chapter 33. We see that Moses met with God. Actually, this is what it says about God's presence here with Moses. Exodus 33:11 says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." Could you imagine that? So Moses, when they would set up camp, there would be this tent of meeting that would be set outside of camp. And that tent of meeting was where Moses would go and meet with God, because he was getting his instructions straight from God himself to how to lead and where to go and what to do next. And so he would go into this tent. People would come, maybe ask Moses questions. He would go and just talk to God and then get direction. And in this tent, God's presence was with Moses. I mean, that whole image, could you imagine that? If you, like let's say your house, you have a house and it's a nice house, and you have a backyard, and in your backyard, you decided, I'm going to set up a tent. And that is where you actually leave your house and go into that tent, and God is literally with you. Like you can see the presence of God and God's holiness, and you could talk to God as if you were face to face like that. Could you imagine that, like Moses got to experience? Actually, those moments where Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, right? And he climbed up to the mountain and he came back down, and it says his face radiated. It like glowed from being in the presence of God. And I don't know if it was like a sunburn. I don't know if it was literally God's glory, like, oh, coming off of him. But he had to veil himself because of that, like being in God's presence like this. Farther down in chapter 33, we see Moses ask a question of God. And it helps you understand that in the tent, obviously, God was veiling his glory. He wasn't fully seen or fully known in that moment, but he was fully relational with Moses. Because later on, Moses asks God this. It says, "Then Moses said, 'Now show me your glory.'" He's asking God. I think it's a bold request, but I think if you're like Moses and you've been having these conversations with God, I think you could get up the nerve to say, "I want to see your glory. Like, can I see you in all your fullness, in all your glory?" I think that's a dangerous question, right, to ask. But he does it because he longs to be with God. "And the Lord said to him, 'I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion.'" Let me stop right there. So God, in essence, is saying, "Yes, I want you to see my glory." But he gives some conditions in a moment. He says, "I will cause all my goodness to pass by you." See, when we understand the presence of God, in the presence of God is all goodness. Again, imagine that best day of your life by a trillion in God's goodness, right? All of God's righteousness, all of his holiness, all of his perfection, like seeing that literally in the presence of, like that glory shining upon him. But he helps him understand how dangerous this is, because then he says this, but God said, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. So that shows the power of God's glory in his face. See, us as humans are not perfect, meaning we are not holy. We're not like absolutely righteousness, full of all goodness. God is. And human, in our humanness, we will not be able to survive in his glory and perfection, in our own power and in our own strength. And God knows that. And God knows that about Moses. He's like, I will let you see part of me, but you can't see all of me. You would not live if you saw all of who I am and all the glory around me. It says, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. So it gives them a destination. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. God grants Moses his request. And it isn't like Moses gets to see all of his glory. He's like, some of my glory is just for me, is what God is saying. Some of who and my perfection and all of who I am is just for me, because others can't even be in the presence of it. But I will protect you from that, and I'll let you see part of my glory as I pass by. This whole scene is, I mean, it's unimaginable. What would you do if God said, yes, and I'm going to protect you from all my glory, but I'm going to let you see me as I pass by? I'm going to let you see just enough that you can understand and that you can comprehend, and just enough that I will protect you from my perfection and holiness because you're not holy. I mean, that whole picture, man, I couldn't imagine it. I believe one day we will see Christ's glory. He will return and we will see him in his glorified body. And it even says we as Christ followers will also have glorified bodies. I mean, we're going to share in that glory of Christ. I mean, that is even unimaginable for us, for our minds, our finite human flesh and bone understanding. But this is who God is. This is who God is. Now, let's go back to the beginning of chapter 33. Moses got the joy and the power of being in God's presence. I think you and I are more like Joshua, okay? Because Joshua, when we go back up to the first part of 33, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. And then it says this, then Moses would return to camp. So he'd go back to the people. But his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. See, Joshua lingered in God's presence. He was able to be there. He was able to hear and experience. But when Moses left and went back to his tent, Joshua just wanted to stay and linger in the presence of God. I wonder, are we like Joshua? Do we long to linger in the presence of God? Or do we linger in things that we shouldn't be lingering in, right? Do we linger in places that are actually dangerous for our hearts or our souls? Or do we cover up our hearts and our souls and protect ourselves from wanting to linger in God's presence? I think so often our own sin and our own shame prevents us from actually spending time in the presence of our Heavenly Father, where God wants just the opposite. See, we move to the New Testament here in just a minute, but for us, He has opened up the tent of meeting to everyone through Jesus Christ. Meaning what was limited in the Old Testament became open in the New Testament. It went from the season of history of the law, which was the do's and don'ts and how to live with one another, that all that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who became the law for us. Meaning Jesus, he covered our sin. He forgave us of our sin, and then he made the way for us to be in the presence of God without guilt or shame, but forgiven and covered by his righteousness. So when God, our Heavenly Father, in all of his glory, sees us, he sees us through the filter of his Son. His Son has filtered the sin in our life so that we can be in the presence of a holy God, that we have been given access to the tent of meeting every single day. Do you linger with your Heavenly Father? Or do you linger in places other than with our Heavenly Father? This morning, I want us to truly understand you have access to God. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, when you accept and confess Jesus Christ as his Son, who died and rose again to pay for your sin, you can now have access to this Heavenly Father without shame and guilt. That's the gospel. That leads us into the presence of God. Now, I want to move forward to the New Testament. First, I want us to be like Joshua. Let's linger with God's presence. And we see that God came in his presence in flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so now we're going to move and we're going to talk about, this is the question, right? Do you linger in God's presence, right? Do you linger in God's presence? And then we want to talk about God's power, okay? God's power. God's presence to God's power. Because now we're getting into the New Testament. Through the Gospels, we see that Jesus is God's presence. That Jesus came as the representation of the Heavenly Father in the flesh to show us what it looks like to live for the Heavenly Father. Like, that's what Jesus did. He lived by the power of the Spirit. He did miracles by the power of the Spirit, just like we can, by the power of the Spirit, do all that Jesus did. He gave us the example and model on how to relate with our Heavenly Father. That's what he did. And in this person of Jesus Christ became the salvation of our sins right in the end. And so there's this moment, when we see in Acts 1:8, right before he ascends into heaven, he gives this instruction to his disciples. So he'd already died. He rose again. He spent that time with the disciples and others, teaching them, helping them understand the kingdom of heaven, then getting ready for them to experience a new power. Meaning they had God's presence with them now, right? Jesus was with them. Jesus was ascending, and he said, a new presence is coming to give you power. And this is what it says in Acts 1:8 as we're talking about Pentecost. This is what happened at Pentecost. And Jesus said to them, but you will receive power. Say that with me. Receive power, right? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He's giving them the understanding that he's leaving, but don't worry, more power's coming. More power's coming. Let me give an illustration real quick about power, okay, how power works. Now, I don't know if you've ever used one of these. This right here is a little portable power supply, right? And so, like, when our family travels, right now it has 74% battery life in it, okay? So when our family travels, and maybe we go to, like, Disney World. I don't know about your family. We take a lot of pictures while we're at Disney World, and so our phone battery goes, right? Or so we carry one of these in our backpacks. And so this is like a small personal power plant, right? You take it USB, and then you plug that in your phone, and it takes the power out of this, and charges your phone again so you can take more pictures and make calls or whatever you need to do. So these are really handy. These are like just personal power packs, you know, as you're walking around. Now, with these personal power packs, they have a limit. Meaning, like I said, this one is at 74%. Every time I use it, that battery is going to go down, down, down until I charge this again to use it to charge my phone again. So these have a limit. based upon location, they have to be with you, and the use as they continue to go down. See, that's kind of like what the disciples were experiencing when Jesus was with them. Meaning they were doing miracles when they were walking with Jesus as disciples, but they were doing it under Jesus' authority. Jesus gave them the authority and said, now you go and you minister and do these things. And Jesus gave them personal, portable power packs of the Holy Spirit, right? It's kind of like, okay, boom, I got this. Now I'm going to go do all that Jesus said because he gave me this power to go do this. Now, what he's saying in Acts 1:8 is something else is coming. You're going to receive a different power because right now it's just personalized. It's just with you. And now this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, this power is going to come, and now it's going to be more like a power plant that sends power amongst a grid that goes to millions of people. Like, it's not just your little personal one. Now it's going to go and spread out. That's what happened at Pentecost. I mean, the Spirit has always been working since the creation. We see the Holy Spirit showed up and that there'd be anointing on certain people in the Holy Spirit, but there wasn't this broad spread work of the Holy Spirit amongst all the believers until this moment in the book of Acts that we see in Pentecost. That now instead of this personal power plant, it becomes a power grid. And the Holy Spirit starts working in everybody's life, from the spiritual leader down to somebody who has just accepted Christ. Right away, boom, they receive the power of the Holy Spirit in them. It's like, whoa, wow. And that is the book of Acts. It's the gospel spreading, and it's the work of the Spirit spreading, and that's the season we're in still right now. We're in the season of the Holy Spirit as Jesus builds his church, empowering and equipping the church body to look like heaven and use our gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us to serve and minister to one another and to the world we live in. That's the season in history that we are in, waiting for Christ's return. Okay. And so when he says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he's talking about, now get ready, disciples, this is whole nother level power. This isn't personal, just for you to go minister like I told you. Now this is for you and for everyone who receives the message in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So for us, we see this happen. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 2. This is Pentecost. It says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I think there's something powerful there. We're talking about better together. All of them were together, waiting for God to work, waiting to see what God was going to do. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. This was different, right? They were in Jesus' presence, now God's presence, and showing up in a new way that they were like, what is happening right now, right? He says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. New power has come. The power of God has come upon them in a new way. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to do. Now, right after this, we see all this noise, all the Jews that were around, because that's where they were in Jerusalem, came and like, what is happening? And some of them came and they said, I can understand what they're saying in my own language, but he doesn't speak my language, and how can I understand it? And they were all like, what is going on? And some people were said, what is going on? Those people like been drinking this morning. Like, what in the world? They're going a little cuckoo. Like, it's 10 in the morning. We're not drunk. You know, it's in there. You can keep reading in Acts 2. But then what Peter did, Peter stood up and he then preached the first gospel message to the Jews. And he went through all of the prophecies, through Joel and through all these prophecies, to explain to them who Jesus was, that he was the Messiah, he fulfilled all the prophecies, and that they killed him. They killed him. And all the people said, well, what do we do? And he said, repent, meaning turn away from your sins, and now accept Jesus, right? And be baptized. And so we see in this moment the power of the Holy Spirit came upon and the gospel started spreading like crazy. And this is where the church was birthed. By the end of that, in Acts chapter 2 and 42, this group of people came together as the church and said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Community, this better togetherness started in that moment. Why? God chose in his presence when Jesus ascended into heaven to give us his Holy Spirit, a new power grid that spread, that united these new Christ followers so that they now had community in a way that they never understood before. They loved God and they loved each other and they loved the Word of God and the teaching and they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, meaning spiritual gifts came upon all of them and they started serving each other with these gifts and experiencing God's presence. So when we're talking about better together, I wanted us to get back down to the foundation of what better together meant, right? God has given us his presence, access to his glory through Jesus Christ. And he's given us his power, the Holy Spirit in us that binds us together in community to serve and love. That's all I got today. I just want us to understand. First, are you lingering in the presence of God? And second, are you accessing the power of the Holy Spirit? Because that's what he longs for you to have to make us better together. Imagine a church body, who daily, not once a week for an hour, but daily lingered in God's presence and was empowered by the Holy Spirit to live and look more like Jesus. Imagine what a group of hundreds or thousands, if they lived that way, how they could change a community. How we as a church family could change the community that we are in by showing that kind of love in God's presence and God's power. I want us to be better together as that kind of church. And so whether you're with us physically in a building or whether you're watching and joining online or whether, you know, whether you're in a small group or in a home watching this together, wherever you are, you can experience those things. You can experience those things. And that's my prayer for you. Just as I said at the beginning in this passage, and I just want you to listen to it again now that we've talked about his power and his presence. Ephesians 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the glory or the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for this encouragement. I pray that you have spoken to somebody this morning. I pray that during this time together, whether people are by themselves on their phones or whether they are watching this with a group of other people or wherever they are, that they know you're with them, that you have promised your presence with us. And I pray that they are living in the power of your Spirit. Help us understand that more and more every single day. Every single day. And God, I pray that our hearts would be soft to you every morning we wake up. I pray you lead us in this short time of response. And you'd say whatever you want to say to us. I would just take a few moments of response. I just have a couple of questions for you, okay? One is this. What is the aim of your life? I mean, there's a bullseye at the end of your life somewhere. What are you aiming at? And is it worthy or worth your life? I don't want any of us to waste our life. Are you aiming for temporary things? Is that your bullseye? Things that won't last when this world disappears? Or are you aiming for God himself, who is forever. Do you long to linger in God's presence? I mean, when you're in the scriptures and the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, do you long to spend some more time just in peace with Him? Do you long as you pray just to be still and be quiet and listen for a moment and just linger there? The more you learn how to do that, the more peace in God's presence you will experience. I promise. The only reason I can promise is because God promises His peace on you. Are you connected? Are you living connected to His eternal power? Or are you living day by day trying to use your own personal power? I would encourage you, plug in to the power grid of the Holy Spirit. Let Him fill you up and give you the strength to serve and love others. Now, if you don't have this relationship with Jesus, every week I give you an opportunity to take a step, and maybe today it's your turn to take that step, to walk towards a relationship with this loving God. This is what it says in scriptures in Romans. If you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that He rose again, you will be saved. It is a belief in your heart, knowing that Jesus is real, He's alive, He's the Son of God, and He died for you, and it's confessing it, meaning there are words that come out of your mouth that bring power and salvation into your heart, okay? And so today, if you want to confess that, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I want Him in my life, I'm going to pray. You can pray to Him right now, and you can say these words, but you have to make it your own confession, okay? Your own belief. So I'm going to pray and you can repeat after me and invite this Jesus into your heart so you can have access to that presence of God, okay? So you can pray just like this. You can say, God, I confess that Jesus is your Son, that He died on the cross for my sins, and that He rose again and is alive today in your presence. I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness, so please forgive me from my sins. I turn from my past and I want to walk towards you. That's what it means for me to repent, God. I accept Jesus into my heart and into my life, and I want Him to change me from the inside out. I want your peace, your power, and your presence. So please enter into my heart, and I just pray this in the name of Jesus alone. Amen. Amen. So today, if you made any kind of decision, maybe today you took that step for the first time. Maybe today this was a convicting moment for you to walk more into God's presence. We want to know about that. And so we ask you just to fill out our Connect card online, mynewhope.tv/connect, and let us know any of those decisions that you've made. Even comment to let us know you're joining us, because we love to know who we're pastoring and who we're ministering to and how we're encouraging you in your walk with Christ. But I just want to say thank you for joining us this morning. And we'll see you next time as we continue in this series, Better Together. God bless.